Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome in, everybody. The Doug Gottlieb Show. Doug is off this afternoon. He was in earlier with Dan Patrick. Make sure you catch up on podcast on that one. I am Aaron Torres. He is Bucky Brooks filling in here until the top of the hour when it's 7 p.m. Eastern. Rob Parker will be joined by Andy Furman on The Odd Couple. So one more hour of the Doug Gottlieb Show. The Cowboys, don't call it a comeback, Bucky Brooks. Looks like they have just scored to cut the lead to 17-12. Tony Pollard, did he break the plane? I don't think he did. But was he down? So it looks as though we are under review, and that one may get called back, and it is called back. And so the Cowboys driving to try to cut the lead to 17-13, presumably going into the going into halftime. Bucky, Cowboys got to need a touchdown here, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it would look as bad as they've played. A touchdown to make it 17-13, extra point pendant, that would certainly help. So, yeah, got to get that done. Oh, we've got a tub.
Uh-oh. You see, you're ahead of me now. So here in the Fox Sports Las Vegas studios, it looks like, yes, the Cowboys have just scored. Ezekiel Elliott, touchdown run. It will be, as Bucky said, 17-13, extra point pending. We'll keep you updated on this game. A little over, 30 seconds or so left in the first half. So the Cowboys, 17-13, 25 seconds to go, in the first half. Extra point pending. Really quick, Bucky, we really haven't talked about that late night game. And it's not late night, but 8:30 Eastern time. It is, of course, the Buffalo Bills at the New Orleans Saints. Let me say this. I don't know who puts together this Thanksgiving schedule, but I mean, the Saints. I mean, is this like one of those college football schedules that was put together 8 years in advance, and we thought Drew Brees was still going to be on the Saints?
We thought the Saints would still be good. We thought they would still be relevant. You had Alvin Kamara, who scored all those touchdowns in a primetime game last year.
Christmas Day.
Star power. You thought you have Michael Thomas and all of that. You didn't know that Michael Thomas was not going to play at all. You know.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, you know, Bucky, you said earlier. No excuses, just win, baby, like Al Davis.
Yeah, just win.
Well, if I'm that TV executive right now, I'm banging on my desk saying, let's just win, baby. Get me the Bucks. Get me the Chiefs. Get me anybody but these Saints.
Everyone knows. Most people are nodding off during that night game because they've stuffed themselves. So, look, the Buffalo Bills have a big brand. Bills Mafia travels well. Bills Mafia pays attention. So you get a bunch of eyeballs on it. But, you know, we all are kind of – our eyes would be fluttering after we had that last slice of pie and, you know, your health and all that.
You're being too – I shouldn't really say that. I mean, look, the Bills are still kind of an intriguing team. So let's talk about them really quick because I will say this. There is a very interesting storyline. If the Bills lose this one, I know they're on the road. They lose this one now. That would be 3 of 4. The only win would be against the Jets. They obviously lost to the Jaguars 3 weeks ago, in which they scored 6 points, and then they got just run over by Jonathan Taylor and the Colts last week. So I guess I will say it has set up for a very interesting storyline where if Buffalo comes out of this one looking flat or just flat out not winning, again, that would be 3 losses in their last 4 games. And really, you could go, it would be 4 losses in their last 6 games if they were to lose tonight, dating back to that Monday night game against the Titans. That would officially be, okay, there is something not right here. So I guess we have that intrigue going into this one, Bucky.
Yeah, we do have that intrigue. So, it's a big game for the Buffalo Bills because they cannot afford to drop another game. Not with the Patriots coming on like that. And the Patriots typically have their number. So this is a huge game. I would expect because it's such a big game, they got to bring it. They got to bring their A game.
Let me ask a dumb question, and maybe there's an easy answer that I'm just missing. We know that, you know, like there's so much on Josh Allen's plate right now with the, you know, the pass offense and everything. Why are they struggling so much offensively and specifically, obviously, the run game? I mean, is there anything specific that I missed in terms of key injuries, in terms of whatever? Because, I mean, this was just such an explosive offense last year, and I actually thought last year Josh Allen, I thought, should have been the MVP of the league, to be perfectly honest. That's no disrespect to Aaron Rodgers, but the way that he elevated this entire organization, completing 69% of his passes, I was I was really impressed by him last year, and it's not to say that he's playing poorly this year, but it's clear that this offense, at least right now, just isn't clicking the way that it was, really, frankly, around this time last year.
He's having to do too much. He's a really good player, MVP caliber player, but he needs more help on offense in terms of the running game. They have to call more running plays. They have to figure out a way to balance it up so he doesn't have to do anything. He had a phenomenal year last year, but that was kind of an anomaly in terms of the way that he took care of the ball and avoided the turnovers and those things. And so it's just really important that they balance it out so he doesn't have to feel like he has to do it all by himself. That's too tough.
Don't disagree with any of that. Really quick on the Saints, you know, it's really interesting, right? Like we talk about, you know, we spend a lot of time talking about the Lions, like where do they go from here? The Raiders, where do they go from here? The Saints, I mean, what have you made of Jameis Winston so far? His completion percentage is still right around 60% for the season. I know he's not playing tonight or, you know, he's been out and all that stuff. But do you believe he is the long-term answer as a former number one overall pick, was kind of rehabilitated in that one season following, you know, kind of the pathway of Drew Brees and or sitting in, you know, sitting behind Drew Brees and kind of just learning, I guess would probably be the better way to put it. Do you believe that this is a guy that can be a long-term answer, you know, kind of at the same time, obviously, while he had some highs early in the season, I know he played well, obviously, even dating back to that Packers game in week one, you know, the team has struggled. Some of it is since he got injured, but do you believe that he can be a guy for them in the long term as the answer under center?
Well, I think he's a better option than the ones that they currently have.
For sure.
Trevor Siemian and Taysom Hill. He wasn't playing poorly. I think it's really hard to evaluate him because he never had a chance to play with Michael Thomas, their number one option. So he was playing with Alvin Kamara only. And, I mean, the offense needs more weaponry around him for him to be able to be successful and kind of have a way to be able to do it. And so it's just one of those things where if I am New Orleans, I want to see if we can run it back with Jameis and see if Jameis can kind of solidify the position, because we should be able to get him at a very team-friendly cost and then see if you can upgrade the stuff around him, because the defense and some of the playmakers that they have are certainly good enough for this team to be a very competitive team, a team that can be a playoff team.
Well, see, and that's really interesting, because I was actually going to follow up with that, is that, you know, we talked a lot about the Detroit Lions, like the quarterback probably isn't there at number one that you can draft, because they're in a situation where if you draft a guy number one, you got to play him. And when they're going to be losing next year and you're going to have to play him. The Saints will obviously be drafting much later. If you were the GM, do you take a mid to late first round flyer on a guy, let him sit for a year, run it back with Jameis Winston. I was thinking of Jameson Williams, I think the wide receiver from Alabama, Jameis Winston. Do you run it back with Jameis Winston? And then kind of you might have yourself a little, hopefully in a best case scenario, Tom Brady, Jimmy Garoppolo situation. Or do you kind of do what you just said and say, we're going all in on Jameis. We're going to get him another playmaker on the outside. Let's go. Let's give him every opportunity to prove that he is the guy. If you were the GM of this organization, which would you do?
I would not go hunting for the quarterback, but if the quarterback came to me, fell in my lap at the right value, I would take him. But I wouldn't trade up and move up and do all that other stuff for a first-round pick for him, because I think Jameis Winston is going to be better in this year than that rookie would be in his first year. So I would go about it that way, and I would look to upgrade. When you really look at this team, man, they don't have enough around him. Like the weapons, Mike Thomas probably won't be there next year. They need another wide receiver. They don't really have elite wide receivers. Offensively, right now, it's Alvin Kamara and who? Nobody. So I think they have to upgrade the stuff around them before we can talk about it.
Very good. Cowboys, by the way, that game has gone to halftime. 17-13, the Raiders lead the Cowboys. Buck, did you see anything those last few minutes? Obviously, Cowboys put together a scoring drive right before the half. I mean, we've kind of bounced around back and forth on the Cowboys and Raiders a lot throughout this show, but this is an important one for the Cowboys from just the perspective that, like, you know, you can lose it, but you really don't want to lose at home to a bad Raiders team that is reeling. That would be 3 of 4. This is the third time in 4 weeks that the offense has not looked right since Dak Prescott set out that Sunday night game against the Minnesota Vikings. And as we've said a few times now, It's not as though the NFC East right now is the cakewalk that we thought it was going to be even 4 or 5 weeks ago down the stretch. Doesn't mean that the Cowboys won't win the division, but Washington all of a sudden playing really well, Philly playing really well. Did you see anything on that final drive that gives you optimism for
they finally got into a rhythm. They got into a rhythm. Tony Pollard made some plays, and they put it in the paint. And that was the most important part. They were able to get the score, so now it doesn't look like you're down. You're not down two scores. You're in the mix, 17-13. That's doable because now you're saying, hey, man, we come out the half. Let's go ahead and take care of business. Let's wake up. We gave them some. Now let's make them play. And so I think it's a much different message if you're Mike McCarthy at halftime in this situation, as opposed to being down two scores and really trying to figure out, guys, what are we doing?
Now, conversely, where are we at with the Raiders? I mean, obviously, look, it's been well documented. We don't need to get into all of everything that has gone down there the last month or so, but they're coming into this one on a 3-game losing streak. One of those games was competitive. The last two, not so much, against the Chiefs a few weeks ago, and the Bengals was another kind of sloppy turnover, penalty type deal with the Raiders. I mean, obviously, I don't know if the interim head coach is the answer to the long term, but I would almost take this as, I mean, let me ask you, Bucky. I mean, it feels weird because this was a team that we were talking about as an AFC West leader a few weeks ago, a team that was in position to maybe get the first round bye, the divisional bye. And obviously, it's falling apart really quickly. I mean, this to me kind of feels like, these next few weeks for the Raiders, you obviously want to make a playoff push, but I don't know how realistic that is in the AFC West where things are getting tougher by the week as KC gets better. I feel like this is almost like a Detroit Lions situation where it's like everybody's go put something on tape because everything's kind of at stake where we just lost our best playmaker at wide receiver, obviously for forever, essentially, because he's been released by the team independent of the legal problems. Mm-hmm. You lost a Damon Arnette at corner. You lost your head coach. I kind of feel like it's almost like we're trending towards a top five pick in the draft and just go out there and ball, put something good on tape, whether you stay here for the next head coach or whether you're going somewhere else in the offseason.
No, I think all those things are really valid. But I think if you're Rich Bisacci and the team, like everyone is still trying to make it about this year and seeing if they can make a playoff push. And so if you're the Raiders, you're looking at the situation, hey, Turkey Day, we're up. We still haven't played our best game. Derek Carr is only a little over 50% completion rate. So let's see if we can put it together and get the running game going. See if we can get this win. This win would put us at 6-5. The Chiefs still aren't too far away from us. We can close the gap on them. So you're still in hope. Hey, we can do this. We can put it together. We just need to put it together. And so you stay like that. And look, internally, front office wise, you may say, hey, let's look and see where we can kind of fit on the draft board. See what's available, how we can build this team going forward. But right now, you're Rich Bisacci. You're playing for the job. So you're coaching your tail off, seeing if you can win this job and be the head coach, and then worry about all that other stuff after the season.
This is the Doug Gottlieb Show. Doug is out for the afternoon. I'm Aaron Torres. He's Bucky Brooks. We're taking you up to the top of the hour here at 7 o'clock Eastern time. Coming up, we go back to the college game, start looking ahead to this weekend in the NFL. Aaron Torres, Bucky Brooks, and for Doug, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Thank you. This is the Gottlieb Show. Aaron Torres, Bucky Brooks in for Doug, was thanking board op John Ramos. Should also thank the crew, producer Bo, Ralph Irvin. Bucky and I are not the only people working hard today, so we appreciate all of you guys behind the scenes. Thank you. We heard plenty from Ramos and Bo and Ralph Irvin in our very hotly contested movie draft earlier in the show where I took Home Alone number one overall for movies. People were acting like I drafted Darko Milicic over LeBron James over there, Bucky Brooks. My goodness. What do you got against Kevin McAllister, man? I mean, he's a good kid.
I mean, he is a good kid, but
you have a son. I think he's a baseball player, right?
Yeah, he plays baseball. He plays baseball at San Jose State.
Did you ever leave him at home by accident over the holidays or?
I'm not saying
you're a bad parent if you did. I'm just saying.
I don't think so. He's had some time solo where he can just kind of hang at the house and do his own thing. But for the most part, he's been good.
But you knew where he was. It wasn't like he got on the wrong plane and ended up in New York or anything.
No, nothing like that. Nothing
okay,
like
that's
that.
Good. Very good. Well, I don't know what you got against Kevin McAllister, but that was more Home Alone 2 than Home Alone 1. The poor kid, you know, he just wanted to eat a nice cheese pizza by himself, and Bucky Brooks is over here crushing him. So, anyway, Doug Gottlieb Show, Aaron Torres, Bucky Brooks in for Doug. And again, thanks to the crew, Ralph, who we'll hear from momentarily, Bo and John Ramos. So, real quick, you know, on top of all the NFL stuff today, some college stuff, we should mention here in about an hour from now, really like a kind of a fun rivalry, the Egg Bowl. Mm-hmm. And this one, you know, for the casual, non-real, like diehard college football fan, you know, some years might be less appealing than this one. But this one, you have two really big personalities at the coaching position with Mike Leach at Mississippi State and Lane Kiffin, the head coach of Ole Miss. But then also, and again, we've talked a lot about the NFL draft this show. I mean, Bucky is the potential number one, not number one overall pick, but maybe the first quarterback off the board. Matt Corral is playing for Ole Miss. So again, don't know how much you get to watch these teams during the season. I know you break down a ton of tape in the lead up to the draft, but any thoughts on this one going into this one?
Egg Bowl is always fun. It's always going to be crazy. I think the reason why anyone should tune into this is to look at Matt Corral, have an opportunity to show and prove to everyone that he's legit as a high-end quarterback prospect. He's a Southern California kid. He's a kid who has big-time talent. He's athletic. Look, he's not necessarily a dual threat, but he has dual threat capabilities in terms of his ability to get outside the pocket and make things happen. And in this high-octane offense that Lane Kiffin runs, man, he's been ringing up big numbers. And so it's a great opportunity to see him in a rivalry game to see how he takes his game up a notch. When I was scouting back in the day, I would always, first games tapes that I'm going to pop in playoff games, bowl games, and then I want to see how you play in the rivalry game, because those games have the most intensity that kind of mirrors what it's going to be like in the NFL. So this is a good one to check out.
Well, and the thing, if you're a team that could potentially draft this kid, is the one thing you can't deny about him is he's shown a great deal of toughness this year. Mm-hmm. In that he's been so banged up. There's been certain weeks, I don't know if it was the case leading into this one, he hasn't even practiced, like not out on the field doing anything other than getting rehab. He got a really bad ankle injury about 3 weeks ago. Maybe Lane Kiffin just essentially said, yeah, we're using all week to rehab that ankle, knowing that it's probably going to get banged up on game day. And so, you know, tough kid. And again, this hopefully will be a fun showcase for him. You know, the rest of the games this week, we talked a little bit earlier about Ohio State, Michigan. I mean, the big one there will be Michigan's defense against Ohio State's offense. Let me ask you really quick. Are you familiar at all? Michigan, new defensive coordinator, came from the NFL. His name is Mike McDonald. He worked under John Harbaugh, Jim's brother, with Baltimore. And everyone seems to think that the defense has been revitalized. They're top 10 nationally in most of the important categories, including pass defense. This will be the best pass defense that Ohio State has faced all year. Do you know much about him, what he has changed there? Because we can crush Harbaugh all we want about what happened last year during COVID. They have been, once again, really good for the vast majority of the 2021 season.
Well, Mike McDonald's done a really good job at Michigan. And he, as you said, he worked under his brother, John, with the Baltimore Ravens. He's brought some of that creativity to Michigan. He's shored up a little bit of the issues that they had in the back end. This was a team that played a lot of blitz coverage, crazy aggressive under Don Brown. And when it was working, I mean, at a high level. However, so much man-to-man, sometimes you would leave your guys exposed and you give up some big plays. So they've been able to be crazy aggressive without giving up big plays. And so because of that, it's worked out. And it was also part of what Harbaugh wanted to do in terms of bringing in new energy. He wanted a younger staff, more energy, more connectivity between the players and the coaches, and all of that has worked. But the new defense coordinator, Mike McDonald, has done great.
Really quickly, let's rip through some of the other games. Oklahoma State, people probably don't realize, is actually a slight favorite coming into this one. And I only bring it up because we think about Oklahoma, Caleb Williams, Spencer Rattler, these high-powered offensive attacks. But the Oklahoma offense has been really sputtering the last few weeks. Curious, I don't know if you've had much time yet to kind of break down Caleb Williams. He was great those first couple games off the bench, kind of regressed as the defenses have gotten tougher over the last few weeks. Again, don't know if you've broken down the tape, but I also know you work with a lot of these high school quarterbacks at some of the summer camps and things of that nature. Do you know much about Caleb Williams? And if so, what do you expect from him tomorrow night against Oklahoma State, or Saturday night, I should say?
Well, big time talent from DMV, that DC, Maryland, Virginia area, that is really a hotbed of talent. just came over, stepped in for Spencer Rattler. And look, it's been a little bit of a roller coaster ride with him, but when he has been on his game, and you can see why so many people were after him. At Oklahoma, you can see why it works, because athletically, he can toe the rock, but he can make every throw that you want to see. And his inexperience has been the part that has kind of gotten him in trouble sometimes when he's had some turnovers and those things. But this guy can play, man, and he's the next quarterback that's going to pop in a major way at Oklahoma. And so the fact that he supplanted Spencer Rattler, that to me, that says everything about what Lincoln Riley believed his long-term potential to be. Because you don't make a move like that unless you just know that this guy that you're putting in is a stud. Mm-hmm. And he has played to that level at times. And so, Bedlam, anything goes, right?
Yep.
Oklahoma State has more – I mean, both of them have pressure on them, but Oklahoma State has a lot riding on this in terms of, like, they still got a shot to kind of get into the mix and do some stuff. And so, this should be a great game, man. I expect this to be a really, really good game. Oklahoma State's defense is nasty, though. They're going to bring pressure from everywhere. So, if you like fireworks, you can see a lot of fireworks on both sides of the ball.
Dumb question that I probably already know the answer to. Do you expect Spencer Rattler, the backup quarterback, to pursue a transfer this offseason, or do you believe that he will try to just go to the NFL draft and kind of get drafted off his reputation as a late-round pick, as a guy that was a once very highly coveted quarterback, and a team essentially taking a flyer on him, believing that they can still get that out of him at the pro level?
I think he has to go somewhere else and play. There's so many questions around him, because when I look at Spencer, and I said this prior to the season, big-time talent, but a couple things work against him. Very slender frame, not necessarily a big dude, not necessarily a dual threat in terms of athleticism, like the arm talent. And when he was dealing, he's accurate, he can make the throws, has a bit of a gunslinger mentality. So all those things are positive. The other stuff that works against him besides, like, his frame, man, going all the way back to when you watched him in high school, he was on this, I think it's Netflix, QB1, and it kind of laid people an opportunity to kind of see his personality and those things. I can't say as a high schooler he always handled those situations correctly. And so he needs to go somewhere to show people that great leader, can bounce back from the ever situation that he had to deal with at Oklahoma, and that he plays better and performs at a high level. So I think a lot is riding on the next selection. I don't think he's ready to go to the pros and kind of make it that way.
Do you think that's something that I guess anything can be rehabbed, but that to me is what strikes me, is that again, he had a Netflix show that wasn't necessarily totally based on him, but it kind of was, and he didn't come off well on that. And a lot of stuff you hear, whether it's fair or not, is that some of it's leadership, off the field, things that, you know, a quarterback has to be great with. And the one thing that you said from the beginning, or that you said a minute ago with Caleb Williams, is that from the beginning, it seems as though since he got put in that Texas game, players have rallied around him as the starting quarterback in a way that, fair or unfair, it doesn't appear as though they did with Spencer Rattler. So the football stuff, I mean, that will come. But is that something that you can, at this stage in your career, either relearn or reprove, is that you're not only a great talent, but that you're a great leader, a great locker room presence, things like that, especially if you go somewhere new?
Yeah, but you have to go to work, and you have to be quiet and just kind of put in the work and kind of earn the respect from your peers. And so the only way that he can go and kind of remake himself is by going to a new spot, playing really well, endearing himself to his teammates through his work ethic, through his leadership style, and then let the results speak for themselves. But he has a lot of work to do in that area, because everyone is going to look at his body language when he's on the field and off the field and the sideline and the way he interacts with coaches and all that other stuff. And so there's a lot that goes into it when you're evaluating all players, but particularly quarterbacks. Man, the intangible qualities are just as important, if not more important, than the physical tools that we can see when they're playing.
This is the Doug Gottlieb Show. I'm Aaron Torres. He is Bucky Brooks. You want to tweet into the show, also make sure you're following at Bucky Brooks on Twitter for Bucky, at Aaron_Torres for me. We'll start to wrap up the show. About a half hour left, top of the hour, will be The Odd Couple with Rob Parker and Andy Furman. This is the Doug Gottlieb Show. As Ralph just told you, Aaron Torres, Bucky Brooks filling in for Doug, taking you to the top of the hour. Doug, of course, was on the Dan Patrick Show earlier today, so make sure you download the Dan Patrick Show podcast and, of course, download the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast for everything that you missed on today's show. Bucky, I, as Ralph said, we do have one more game today. We talked a little bit about Buffalo, New Orleans. I just kind of want to rip through some of these games on Sunday because we got kind of a sneaky, interesting slate on Sunday. A lot of games that I don't know that you could have circled on the calendar even a month, 6 weeks ago that all of a sudden have real meaning. So I just want to get your thoughts on a couple of them. Look, the big one, this is one that we could have all circled months ago, and that is, of course, the Rams at Green Bay. The Rams even going into the season, the Matthew Stafford hype, we talked about a little bit of that to lead the show. But then on top of that, the last couple weeks, you add Odell Beckham, you add Von Miller, then you lose the first game with them. Now you're coming out of a bye, and we're really hitting that home stretch where you want to make that playoff push, you want to make that Super Bowl run, because as you said earlier, and it's been my stance on this as well, Jared Goff got you to a Super Bowl, Sean McVay. You said he's not good enough. That means that you believe that Matthew Stafford can win one for you. Not saying that the Rams season is a disaster if they don't win it, but they got to start looking a certain way, I feel like, over these next couple weeks, and it starts Sunday in Green Bay.
It absolutely starts Sunday. We talked about it early in the show. This is one of the games that was circled on the calendar because this is where you get those progress reports. How well are they progressing when it comes to being a title team? This is a team that dismissed you in the playoffs last season. It led you to make a bunch of changes, including moving on from your other quarterback to get what you think is an upgrade in Matthew Stafford. So now let's see. Is this a better version of the Rams team than the version that we saw in January? And if it is, then you feel great about where you're going and where it could finish at the end of the year. But if it's not, then it's problematic. And you have to figure out what is the best style for us to play to enhance our odds of winning each and every game that we play. And so there's a lot of stuff going on. But this Sunday is huge, and I don't care what anyone says about it.
So interesting divisional game on Sunday Night Football, Cleveland at Baltimore. And we kind of get Baltimore. I know Lamar Jackson was out the other day, but they're going to be fine in the bigger picture. Where are we at on Cleveland? I mean, it's been an interesting 3 or 4 week news cycle with Cleveland because we just talked about Odell going to the Rams, and on his way out, I don't know how much I blame him, but it was clear that he let it be known to his camp, hey, this is all Baker, no Odell. And then, of course, he leaves. In the first week, they look awesome, steamroll the Cincinnati Bengals. But since then, there is obviously the loss to New England, in which they were awful. There was a win against the Lions, which was awful, as we have a little bit of a scuffle here in Raiders-Cowboys as the second half has just started. But real quick, where are we at with Baker Mayfield and the Browns? Because, like I said, it has been just a bizarre, interesting, weird news cycle as first it was all Baker's fault, then it was all Odell's fault. Now it's starting to look like a lot of this is on Baker, just not getting the job done at the quarterback position.
Yeah, no, a lot of it falls on Baker, but let's be fair to Baker. Baker's attempting to play through some injuries that are significant. Shoulder, knee, I want to say ankle, all things that impact your ability to play. That said, when you step on the field, people judge you by your performance, and he hasn't played well. And a lot of that is necessarily it's due to the injuries, but he hasn't played well. And so he's catching a lot of flack and a lot of heat because he's also angling for a contract extension because the Browns have to make a decision. If they want to extend him, they can extend him now. Now, we've already picked up the fifth-year option, but if he wants to get that big money, that Bitcoin, that huge contract,
sure.
he has to perform well, and he hasn't played well enough to kind of get it. And so I think there's some internal pressure that he feels because he wants that big payday, particularly when you see Josh Allen command monies over $40 million annually. He wants to be in there, but I don't think the Browns can. I don't think they can pay him that. And I think all of that has kind of impacted the way that he's playing on the field. It just hasn't been good. And so he has to just concentrate on the things that he can control. That is, hey man, just win games. You win games with the Browns, they're gonna pay you because they have not had a very successful run with quarterbacks. And so he just focused on winning. Even that remarkable game that you talked about with the Bengals. I mean, he was only 14 for 21 for 214 yards.
I mean, that's it, though.
Like,
so real quick, we are 11 games into the season. This will now be the 12th game the Browns play. No, there's still time for the narrative to swing one way or the other. Do you believe that Baker Mayfield will be the Cleveland Browns starting quarterback week one of the 2022 season?
Oh, yeah, he's starting quarterback next year. Now, if you're asking me, is that direct deposit Gonna hit his phone. You know that direct deposit when you get that thing from the bank that says, "Hey, you got a direct deposit." I don't know if that's coming across his screen in the offseason, but no, I expect him to be the starting quarterback. I think he's good enough to do that. And I think if anything, what they do is they just kind of stretch this out a little bit. Maybe they give him the Dak Prescott treatment. Just keep stringing him along a little bit on franchise tag until they make a decision. I don't know if they have enough information to make a decision on whether to extend them or move on from him. And so I think you give him more time.
Very good. Let's rip through a couple other ones. Another interesting game, Tampa at Indy. And we talked a little bit about this, but the last few weeks it feels like Indy, you know, they've taken a lot off Carson Wentz's shoulders. Jonathan Taylor's been awesome running between the tackles. Then on the flip side, I know Tampa just took care of business on Monday Night Football against the Giants, but before that, 29 points allowed in a loss to the Washington Football Team, 36 points allowed to the New Orleans Saints the week before that. Now, granted, they were both road games, all that good stuff, but you know, you talk about a surging offense against a defense that is still looking for answers. Again, I know the Bucs look good on Monday Night Football, but this feels like a little bit of a tricky one for Tom Brady and the crew.
Yeah, this is a tricky one. It's a tricky one because you have a physical team that's going to try and go toe-to-toe with you. Now, a lot of it, in dealing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defensively, it's always hard to run on them, particularly when Vita Vea is in the mix. So if he's there, it makes it very, very hard for you to get pushed at the point of attack, and so Jonathan Taylor can be neutralized. But the biggest issue that you have in Tampa is you don't have enough DBs who can cover. The Indianapolis Colts are sneaky good on the perimeter. Carson Wentz has done a really good job of finding Michael Pittman and others in the passing game. They're able to control it. They're tough. They're physical. They can do those things. On the flip side, defensively, this is a team that likes to play a lot of zone. They will man up, but they don't necessarily have the man personnel to match up with the Bucs. They do it on occasion, but they want to sit back and play zone. They want to read the quarterback's eyes. Well, for Tom Brady, that is exactly what he wants. He wants to see you standing on the lawn like Iron Deer, and he doesn't get a lot of movement. He's just going to pick you apart. So it'll be interesting to see which team blinks first. Do the Colts come out of their customary zone tactics, or do they try and play a little more man-to-man, or does Tom Brady have a tough time dealing with the zone coverage that he sees from the Colts? Should be a good one.
I was going to say, last one for Sunday. These are the Sunday games now. The Tennessee Titans coming off a loss to Houston Texans, baby. They are playing in New England. The Patriots are obviously surging. The Titans still looking for answers, kind of in the post-Derrick Henry, trying to figure out what they're doing there. Patriots have won 5 in a row. Titans were playing good ball, but even when they were winning post-Derrick Henry injury, it was a lot of defense. It was a lot of turnovers. It was all that good stuff. Last week, they got stymied. What do you make of this one?
This is a big game for the Titans because, man, they have really not looked good on offense since King Henry went to the sideline. And Ryan Tannehill has been the biggest one. Coming off a 4-interception performance, he has to play better. And he has to play better without the crutch of the running game. That's a lot. He's never necessarily been able to do that consistently throughout his time in the league. And so what can the Titans do to kind of – you can't recreate what King Henry was able to do in terms of taking away – attracting attention from the defense. But can you do some things schematically to make the game easy? I think Ty Downing is going to have to be in his bag. So this is one where I think Tennessee can win, but man, it's just such a hard deal. Their defense is going to have to play like the defense played the first couple of weeks when they lost Henry. They're going to have to be physical. They're going to have to beat him up. They're going to have to make it a brawl. It's tough, man, because the team on the other side is surging. Hot.
Five straight win. Nothing hotter than Bill Belichick walking into
You're probably sitting over there with your Patriots shirt on, all excited, being from up that way. You probably just
so what's just, crazy is I'm actually not a Patriots fan, believe it or not. We could save that story for another day. Although I will say, I think I've probably told you this before, but we did actually play, and this is, you know, kind of a tragic story now, but in high school, we played Aaron Hernandez's older brother was DJ was a very good player in his day. And so Aaron was a few years younger than me. So I did start weirdly rooting for the Patriots when they got Aaron Hernandez because he was obviously the local kid, and we kind of know what happened from there. But I never grew up as a huge Patriots guy, and it really actually, I don't have to bore people with too much of it, but it was a lot of Belichick. If you don't grow up bleeding Patriots, whatever, blue and red, you know, he's kind of a hard guy to wrap your arms around, but I will say.
You don't like discipline and detail? You don't like? You know,
what's
like,
that?
You don't like discipline and detail. You don't like that. You don't like not giving a lot of sugar to the people around you. You just want to grind on them like the Patriots do. You don't like that, huh?
Well, I will tell you. Last little thing. We got Rob Parker and Andy Furman coming up at the top of the hour, Odd Couple. I filled in with Andy Furman one time. I think it was the day after Christmas. And he booked Bill Belichick as a guest. And that was about the most intimidating interview. We do this for a living. I wouldn't say I get intimidated, but you know, if you ask the wrong question with Bill Belichick, you're getting a one word answer and it's on to the next one. Forget being on to Cincinnati. You better be prepared with that backup question in case Bill doesn't like your answer. But as I said, one more segment coming up, and then Rob Parker and Andy Furman at the top of the hour. Bucky Brooks, Aaron Torres in for Doug Gottlieb. This is Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everybody. Doug Gottlieb Show, final segment of the show. Doug is out today. He was filling in for Dan Patrick earlier, so make sure to go ahead and download the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Bucky Brooks and Aaron Torres filling in here. We'll take you to the top of the hour. Rob Parker and Andy Furman in for the Odd Couple on Fox Sports Radio. One segment left, though. This is what I want to do, Bucky. We got a lot of big games here, not only tonight, not only tomorrow, not only Saturday, but Sunday as well. So let's make some picks for some of the biggest games of the weekend. I want to start with, obviously, look, the game tonight, right, is Buffalo at New Orleans. Buffalo is a small favorite going into this one, despite being on the road. I am selling all of my Bills stock, Bucky Brooks. After I trashed Trevor Siemian and I said, why did they put this game on air? I do think, obviously, the road, I think the venue is going to be awesome there in New Orleans. I just don't think something's right with Buffalo. I like New Orleans to win this game outright.
Wow.
You like that, huh?
No,
coming in hot.
I mean, I like that, but I'm gonna go the other way. I'm gonna go Bills Mafia. Bills get it done. They know they have to do it.
All right, very good. Let's transition to let's do the Egg Bowl really quick. Mississippi State hosting Ole Miss. Obviously, the last time they played it at Mississippi State, we all know what happened. There was a little incident involving a little Odell Beckham reenactment. Mississippi State, a 2.5-point favorite coming into this one. So they are a slight favorite at home. Ole Miss is on the road. Matt Corral, we talked about a potential first-round NFL draft pick at quarterback. How do you see this one going down, Bucky?
Ooh, I'm going to go with Ole Miss. I'm going to put my hopes and dreams with Lane Kiffin and crew. Matt Corral just has to have a big game. I think this is one. Egg Bowl, they got to win it.
Got to win it to get to 10 wins. Great. It would be a great season for Lane Kiffin as Ole Miss tries to keep him around with all these big jobs open up. Let's go to Saturday. Michigan hosting Ohio State. So the game is in Ann Arbor in the Big House. Michigan an 8-point favorite. I'll just say straight up, I think Ohio State wins. I think Michigan makes things much more competitive, but I cannot see the scenario. I don't want to say I can't see the scenario. I just don't think Michigan has enough scoring power where even if they are able to limit Ohio State in a way that Michigan State couldn't last week, I don't see the scenario where Michigan wins this game outright.
Ooh, I like Michigan to win this one.
Really?
Yeah, I like Michigan to win this one. I think they figured it out. Everyone counts them out. Coming off that emotional win last week where Ohio State played darn near perfect on offense, I think it's a little tougher this week.
That's incredible.
Go blue.
Listen, I would love it, and the guy that I met in the casino in Vegas about 2 a.m. the other night would love it, who was wearing all maize and blue. He was not very happy talking to me about that game, but maybe he just didn't want to talk about it at 2 a.m. Really quickly, let's just do one game on Sunday. Packers hosting the Los Angeles Rams. Huge game for so many reasons. Packers a 1-point underdog at home, believe it or not. The Rams slightly favored. What do you make of this one, Bucky?
Packers. Aaron Rodgers,
let's
bad toes
it.
And all. A.J. Dillon gives them a bit of a hammer, the physicality, the toughness. I don't know if the Rams can respond to getting punched in the mouth. I think the Packers can play that style. I'm not convinced that the Rams can.
I'm 100% with you. I don't really understand this point spread at all. The Packers, a one-point underdog in that game. We should mention in the game that is going on here, Bucky, the Raiders, 23-13, a quick, short rushing touchdown. Derek Carr looking like Michael Vick at Virginia Tech diving into the end zone there. 23-13, Bucky, we got to roll. But real quick, Raiders are rolling. The Cowboys are going to have some real answers, potentially, real questions, I should say, coming out of this one tomorrow.
Yeah, they got to get it together. I don't know if they can finish it. They got to come back. They got to make it happen.
Got to make it happen. Extra point is good. 24-13, 7 minutes left. With that said, we got to get out of here, Bucky Brooks. Thank you for joining me. Thank you to Doug for having us. I had a lot of fun. I want to thank my co-host, Bucky Brooks. Make sure you're following him on Twitter, at Bucky Brooks. And I want to thank the crew, Bo, John Ramos, Ralph Irvin on the updates. Everybody working hard here on Thanksgiving Day. This is Fox Sports Radio. Coming up, The Odd Couple, Rob Parker and Andy Furman. Keeping you updated, Fox Sports Radio.